In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Sunday, two beautiful young children, babies really, were baptised here at St John's. A little boy and a little girl were brought by their respective parents and godparents to be baptised into the Church of God and into God's love. The family were here halfway filling the church. It was very beautiful. And they were taking photos and videos, no doubt a few of them finding their way onto social media. Both children wore baptism gowns that have been passed down through the generations. And one was embroidered with the name of every member of the family who'd worn that garment to their baptism. A fortnight before, two other children were baptised by Peter. In a fortnight's time, two more children will be brought by their parents and godparents to be baptised here at St John's Toorak. It's so great to see families commit to having their children baptised, and it's a privilege to welcome infants and teenagers and adults into the church as they begin their journey with God. The service of baptism includes readings from scripture, prayers, the presentation of the person to be baptised, and the words of a conscious decision to be baptised or to have one's children baptised. And then the baptism itself. Water is poured into the font which is placed just down here before the chancel step. The water is blessed, and the person is baptised in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The words from common worship services and prayers from the Church of England remind us that our drowning in the water of baptism, where we die to sin and are raised to new life, unites us to Christ's dying and rising. We're born again by water and the Holy Spirit, as Jesus was at his baptism. A sign of the cross is then made on the person's forehead as they're anointed with chrism or consecrated or blessed oil, marking them as Christ's own forever. Each baptised person is given a candle, lit from the paschal candle that you can see in the sanctuary. And as the candle is lit and handed to the baptised person, these words are said. God has brought you out of darkness into God's marvellous light. Shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. Water, oil, light from a candle, prayers and blessings, promises and commitments. In such a way is a person welcomed into the Church of God, into the Christian way of life, and into God's love. A person can be baptised only once, so it's a unique moment in that person's life. They are forever sealed with God's grace, and it can never be removed or undone. Baptism is always a theology of welcome, a welcome into the Christian community and into a life with Christ. This rite is ancient and beautiful, going all the way back to John, and the idea of baptism is even before John. Whilst we here in St John's use a font which is brought from the Angel Chapel to be placed here, and there's another big font at the back, but we use the smaller one down here, baptisms can take place in rivers, the ocean, even in hot tubs, in America sometimes steel cattle troughs, or plunge pools. In Texas, and where else would you hear this but Texas, a church calls their baptisms a plunge party. I would rather a font. Can't quite go to the plunge party idea. Well, John the Baptizer, who's the focus of today's reading in the Gospel of Luke, which we began last week, didn't have a plunge pool, he didn't have a hot tub, or even a font, of course. He baptised people in the River Jordan or the wadis near the River Jordan. Well, why this place? Why the Jordan? The Jordan in Scripture is a symbolic liminal space between the old and the new, for dispute and resolution, for handing over the baton from one prophet to another. The River Jordan is symbolic of cleansing, of purifying, of sloughing off all that you want left behind, of starting afresh, of changed hearts and minds. The Jordan in Israelite imagination is to embrace life. So it's not surprising that this is where John baptizes people. He doesn't choose the Dead Sea or the Sea of Galilee, but the boundary location where God does great things. We read this morning that John proclaims a baptism of repentance. Now that word repentance isn't well liked today, and I think for some good reasons. It's been used too often to terrorize and frighten people away from God instead of welcoming people into a loving relationship with God. You know, repent ye sinners, you miserable, lowly, unworthy people. That is not a welcome. What John means is this: turn to God. Change direction. Return to God. That's what repent means. Turn from those things which don't give life. And we hear this in a baptism of today in 2021. When those to be baptized are asked, "Do you turn to Christ?" they are then asked, "Do you repent of your sins?" That is, do you turn to the one who loves you and gave his life for you? Will you choose life and light over death and darkness? And the answer is, I will, with God's help. It's a conscious decision by an adult, or a conscious decision made by loving parents and godparents of children, to live a life of love and goodness and charity and care for one's neighbour. That's why this section of the baptismal rite is called the decision. Do you turn to Christ? Do you turn to a fullness of life? We also read that John operates as a prophet in the wilderness, not for him the temple, the palace, or seats of power. As the son of the priest, Zechariah, John would have been expected to be a priest as well, with all the privileges that came with that. Think fancy clothes, think the best seats in the house, respect and public acclaim. But John, like so many prophets before him, pursues a very different path. He chooses a life of preaching in the driest, most hostile place he could find, where for hundreds of years, prophets revealed God doing God's work, a place of hope, a place of lament, a place of refining oneself. Not in Jerusalem, not in Galilee, but in the wilderness. As part of today's reading, Luke quotes from Isaiah chapter 40, a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Well, what's this about? Why does Luke choose that particular part of Isaiah? Well, this part of the prophet Isaiah's writings begins a new section in the book. Chapters 40 to 55 are a new unit about a return of God's people from exile and how God will restore and give new life to God's people. Project forward, and John echoes this healing. John is pointing forward and saying, everything you've hoped for, everything you've longed for, the change, the freedom, the peace, is about to come. Get yourself ready. John the Baptizer. John, who is surrounded by extremely the most powerful men with their titles. Emperor Tiberius, Pilate the governor, Herod, Philip, Lysanias the tetrarchs, Annas the former high priest, and Caiaphas the current high priest. Enormous political, military, and religious power. And then there's John. You can hear how overwhelmed John should be by all of these symbols and realities of power. But he isn't. You can hear how his voice should have been drowned out, but it wasn't. Today, we pay attention to John's voice 2,000 years later. Not an emperor's, or a governor's, or a tetrarch's, or a high priest, or a prime minister, or a chancellor, or a president. We listen to John. John, who gives up his own hereditary claim to privileged priesthood to preach the truth about a coming Saviour. John, who hears the voice of God and becomes a messenger for God and goes before God to prepare people for God's coming. Advent, the season of Advent, is a good time for us to take stock and reflect on the sacrament of baptism, of dying to an old life and rising to a new life as we await the light and peace of the world. This Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, we're also encouraged to listen to the voice of John, the one who announces the coming of the Christ. Before the swaddling clothes, the feeding trough, the angels' wings and the cute animals, there is John. Before Jesus begins his ministry, there is John. John points us to the Messiah, and then he humbly baptizes him. The one about whom he will say, "I am not fit to tie his sandals." Amen.